This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 9 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we are all traveling this faithful bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation of the thing that God is showing me as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at botfpodcast.com. You can also connect with me at facebook.com/botfpodcast. This episode is a rabbit trail continuation of our previous episode about obedience. I spoke briefly about Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." We are God's carefully crafted masterpiece built specifically for certain jobs that were also designed specifically for us. But I feel like so many times we miss those opportunities, either through fear of the task, fear of failing, or just not keeping our eyes open for them. We kind of box ourselves into our comfortable and predictable lives, and we're like hobbits where we don't want to risk the journey, but also means we miss the grand adventure and the even grander rewards. The Corinthians also dealt with the issue of feeling comfortable and therefore boxing themselves in, away from the beautiful adventure and joy-filled life that God had planned for them. The Message paraphrases 2 Corinthians 6:11 through 13 this way. "Dear, dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter these wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I am speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. God is all-powerful, but he really loves to use us to do big things. However, when we feel that tug to do something, especially if it's outside of our comfort zone, we tend to think, why me? We can always list 1,000 reasons why we can't do something that God is asking us to do. I personally am the ultimate queen of excuses. If there is something that I really don't want to do, then I'll ignore it by doing a myriad of other also important things that need to be done and just leave that one to the end. I honestly sometimes even really struggle with working on this podcast, and we're only 9 episodes in. Recently, I've found that these times when I feel like I'm dragging my feet, making little progress, and severely unmotivated are those times when the most important for me to continue, push harder, because there's something totally worth it on the other side. I often find myself somewhat jealous of the faith that you see in those main players of the Bible. And no, I'm not saying that I am jealous of the trials or the situations that they face, but I often wonder if I were in their shoes, would I have been so bold and so faithful? In my particular circumstances of life right now, I find a lot of hope in the book of Isaiah when God calls him to become a prophet. Isaiah 6:8 shows Isaiah's response to God's calling. "Then I heard the Lord asking, 'Whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?' I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" At this point in the conversation, he didn't even know what God was asking, but Isaiah knew God and he was willing to do it even though he had no idea what it was. How can I get that confidence and resolve to freely say yes without even knowing to what? By pursuing a knowledge of God, to understand how he works in these kinds of situations, to see many examples of his faithfulness through his sending. Romans 8:31 says, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us?" Hebrews 11 has been such a huge help for me throughout this podcast journey. It is so many examples of what faith is, how God is faithful to us, and normal people with extraordinary faith. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10 puts the spotlight on one of those people. But before we read the verses in Hebrews, which is a New Testament book, and therefore looking at the story from the other end, I want to look at it from the beginning. Genesis 12 tells the story of the calling of Abram. Abram was a man from the line of Shem, Noah's son, and God had decided to use him as the one to be the father of his people, later to become the nation of Israel. In order to start that process, God wanted to get him to the promised land, Canaan. So God gave the call with the promise of a reward for the obedience, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those that treat you with contempt. All the families on the earth will be blessed through you." Hebrews 11, 8 through 10 looks at it from the other side. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. I see a pattern here. God will ask us to move before we know the end point of the journey. I don't know how that makes you feel. Some of you may be like me, where the thought of adventure sounds like a thrill and an exciting journey. But for others, the not knowing causes paralyzing fear or just extremely uncomfortable thoughts as you try to plan for a future that you don't even know what it is yet. But here's the good news. God has promised and proved that if we follow him, he will guide us. The Bible is full of examples. God guided the Israelites out of Egypt. He guided Abram to Canaan. He showed Isaiah where to go and what to say. King David, the same person as episode 5, waiting in the shepherd's field, who went through many trials and wrote these words in Psalms 16, 7 through 8. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me, for he is right beside me. Another passage that I learned young and has stuck with me in these situations is Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. These are just 5 examples of people describing God's faithfulness when he asks us to move. And I think that's plenty for you to get my point, but I wanted to show you how it's been working in my life as of late. I know I keep saying this, but I want to make sure it's clear. God is the one guiding this podcast, not me. Actually, I feel kind of lazy because a lot of my points come from other people's wisdom. Almost everything that I tell you has come to me secondhand through my devotion from the day or from a sermon, a book that I'm reading, a song, or a conversation where something just feels like it lights up in my head in a new way, and I'll look to see if it fits within a specific theme that I've been compiling or if it should start a new group. And once I get a theme filled enough to consider talking about it, I sit down and I see if I can get it to flow together and make decent sense. It's basically like compiling a research paper, making all that data make sense. He has lit the path for me this whole time, providing every bit of it. All I've had to do is take the next step. However, the one thing that I most of all struggle with to overcome is the fear of failure. Actually, this specific episode has been really hard for me. Things have not flowed the way that I liked them to. It feels awkward, and frankly, I felt lazy and unmotivated. And this is where I really feel Satan pressing in and showing me reasons why I should stop. But then I realized that, one, I'm stubborn, and when someone tries to tell me that I can't do something, even if it's myself, I will do whatever it takes to prove them wrong. And two, when we feel this push to stop, unless it's from God, which putting yourself down is never from God, it usually means you're on the right track. And if you push through, there will be so many blessings on the other side. One random side note, there will be times when we mess up. It's inevitable. We're human. But while messing up may have consequences, which we'll talk about in another episode, there is grace. God will not be surprised. He will always forgive you when you ask, and his plan always comes through despite our shortcomings. Personally, I find this to be a huge relief and a lot of weight off of my shoulders. We've talked a lot about the Old Testament, so how does the command to go apply to us as Christians? Luke describes Jesus' words of our calling in chapter 9, 23 through 24. And he was saying to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it." This is the first step of our go calling. We need to be willing to give up things, but in doing so, we will be so much better off for it. We will truly gain our life. And when we prove we are willing to give up things for God, that is when he will start asking us to move. Peter was one of the first disciples. Luke 5 tells us how their relationship began. Go read it sometime. However, here's the SparkNotes version. Jesus was speaking to a crowd, and the crowd kept getting bigger, pressing in tightly around Jesus. He just so happened to be by a lake, and Jesus decided it would be a great idea to teach from a boat, giving everyone more space to come and listen. He looked around and he saw Peter, called Simon, I think God loves nicknames, and asked him to share his boat. This may not sound like a big deal, but at this exact time, Peter had been fishing all night. He was exhausted and he didn't catch a single fish. Therefore, he had no wages coming in. He was tired. And by doing this for Jesus, he was giving up the ability to have a chance at any money that day. But he did it anyway, sacrificing a full day's wages and a fair amount of sleep, which, as a mother of two little boys, I totally appreciate the sacrifice of sleep. When Jesus was finished, he looked at Peter and told him to cast his net in the deep water. This may also not seem like a hard request, but this was not the place that you normally go fishing, nor was it the right time of day for good fishing. But Peter said, "If you say so, I'll do it." And of course, you guessed it, he caught some fish. So many, in fact, that he filled the net so full and so fast it almost broke. And it took several men to pull up and filled two boats full of fish. Jesus wanted to show them how abundantly he blesses obedience and faith. Peter showed great faith and heartfelt sacrifice to Jesus. And that is what God really wants from us in our obedience. He does not want us to grumble and complain. And there's more on this in episode 8, Faithful Obedience. Jonah is a prime example of how not to go. The book of Jonah tells the familiar story that everyone grows up hearing. And here's another SparkNotes version. Jonah, a prophet of God, gets told to go to Nineveh to tell the people to repent or God will destroy the city. This threat and Jonah's fear to go there is probably a good sign that this place was not a very nice place. So instead of obeying, Jonah runs away. In his escape voyage, God sends a terrible storm and Jonah tells the captain of the ship to throw him overboard to save everyone else. God then uses a huge fish to rescue/discipline Jonah, which then causes Jonah to repent and go to Nineveh. And this is the story that everyone knows, but I feel that the ending is less familiar. Once Jonah gets there, the Ninevites repent, and therefore God rescinds the threat of demolition. However, instead of being in awe of God's mercy and love, Jonah pouts and becomes grumpy because he wanted them to die, and he told God to kill him instead of letting these people go off. He even made a shelter on a hill so he could watch the destruction like it was some Hollywood movie. Later, he asked God to let him die because the plant that God grew for him to have shade, basically, he threw a temper tantrum when it died. And while God still used Jonah in his plan to save Nineveh, I'm sure it did not make God happy to deal with his temper tantrums and belligerence. And Jonah was obviously not as effective as he had the potential to be. The story also answers our next question. Why does God ask us to go? In all of these stories, the big point in each journey was to bring others closer to God. Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus explains his goal for us as believers. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Our calling is to go help others follow Jesus. Sometimes going means going far. Other times it just means going outside of our walls. Or even sometimes it just means going into our living room and being open about what God is doing. Acts 20:24, Paul declares, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my cause and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." In the verses previous to this, Paul explains that he knows he's heading for Jerusalem, where pain and prison await him, that he will likely not see the Christians of Asia again, and yet he's still willing to go because he knew it was where God wanted him. When we are obedient and faithful, we can begin to see how that obedience brings others with us. Paul's obedience brought countless people to Christ and still does to this day through his writings. Going back to Peter, his obedience in the boat sparked faith and action in two other men to help him with his huge pile of fish. Those two men were James and John, who also came along, gave up everything for a ride of the core part of the 12 disciples. A modern day example just happened in my life. One of my sixth grade girls from my youth group, small group, recently got saved. And this is in no small part due to her faithful, obedient parents who guided her and gave an example to her. Her father got to be the one to baptize her. It was inspiring and it was so beautiful. We are asked to go on an amazing, exciting go journey. But most of the time, the first part of the adventure starts with a small, heartfelt sacrifice. But each faithful step will lead us farther into a great adventure full of hope and rescue. Abram took each leg of the journey God asked him to, creating a legacy that still exists in the Jews to this day. Peter opened his boat and his heart, giving him and his friends the opportunity to go front row tickets to the rescue of all mankind. Isaiah started his journey of personally getting a glimpse of God's glory and long-term plan for the world by simply saying the words, "Here I am, send me." God loves to use normal, everyday people like these in big ways, but he doesn't just leave them there and expect them to figure it out by themselves. Like Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Acts 1:8 explains a gift that Jesus gives to help us. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." Jesus gifted us with the Holy Spirit, who gives us so much power to do the things that God asks us to do. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." So we know God calls us, that he is with us. So the last, first, and hardest step is to take the instruction that we know in our head and actually do something with it. John Wesley said, "Do all the good things you can, in all the ways you can, to all the souls you can, in every place you can, with all the zeal you can, as long as you ever can." Friends, we have a long, hard journey ahead of us, but the blessings are abundant, and we will be able to bring so many people with us if we do it well. But we are not alone, and we don't have to map the journey. We just have to take those steps that God lights for us along the way. In the midst of oppression and depression, along Isaiah's go journey, God gave him and us this beautiful promise in Isaiah 41:9-10. "You, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remotest parts, and said to you, 'You are my servant,' I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
This has been episode 9 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast entitled, "Here I Am, Send Me." For show notes, go to botfpodcast.com/episode/9. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/botfpodcast.